Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this two-part study of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, titled, Sowing to the Flesh versus Sowing to the Spirit. And before doing so, we want to share this letter we love from Brother Mark in Singapore. Brother Mark writes, I am from Singapore. I have been following your teaching through YouTube for almost a year. It really is fulfilling for me and my family. We have indeed been growing in our spiritual walk. We are thankful for your ministry, giving us a clear understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful for the effort your ministry puts into the YouTube messages, which has benefited many of us here in Singapore. And Brother Mark included a question, and we've responded to that, and we really appreciate letters like this, letting us know that this ministry is being a blessing. And we also enjoy the opportunity to answer those questions, and we appreciate any opportunity to pray for you. If you have any prayer requests or would like to contact us, you can send an email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, you can send that to Bible Believers Fellowship or Pastor Greg Miller to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, and we'll respond to any requests you might have. This information is also always available at bbfohio.com. and on our 24/7 radio site at bbfohioradio.com. So now let's begin our two-part study of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, if you're going to follow along in your Bible, and verses 7 and 8, I see a couple of folks here in the front row using their phones for the Bible app you got, I think. Yeah. And I actually heard a preacher this week basically condemning that and saying that you need to have a Bible in your hand. You need to be able to feel the cover. You need to be, you know, all this stuff. And listen, it's not the leather or leather flex or hardback cover that matters. It's the words. And if you don't know it already, there are apps for your phones where you can get free Bibles, and then there's others you can pay a little more for, whatever you want to do. And folks, it used to be you'd get stuck in a doctor's office or stuck waiting on your car to get worked on. You had nothing to do. Now, you can, if you want, read your Bible.
Amen.
You have your phone with you, and then you just open that Bible app. And then some of you carry a Bible with you. That's fine, too. But it's just a great... You know, technology has its perks.
Yes.
You know?
Huh? You look more spiritual if you have
the
original.
Yes. You look more spiritual.
Well, yeah.
Both of
you got the original.
Yeah, I took a picture of myself before I did the one of the weddings, and I had a big, big black Bible holding it. I did it kind of as kind of a joke, but you should have heard people are like, "Oh, wow, I love that, book." I said, "Yeah, it doubles as a weapon, you know."
Hardcover, right?
Yes. All right. Well, that segues into our study today. We're going to be talking about sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you spend all your time playing video games on your phone. You sow to the Spirit, you use at least some of that time to read the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with playing a little video game or whatever on your phone. But if you don't have time for Bible study, but you do have time for the video games, that's an example of what we're going to talk about today. Amen? One of you agree. Amen. So that's what you're doing on the phones. I thought you were reading your Bibles. All right, verses 7 and 8. Let's go ahead and read our text. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now we left off in our previous study with this truth that God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Why would it say that? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The reason he says that is because it's a matter, at least we can say this of modern America, in modern American culture, to mock God. That's just a fact. And folks, it is blatant, but it's also subtle today that American culture is made up of, it's a culture of in the embrace of Darwinianism. It's a culture that has embraced Antichrist. It is a culture that then mocks God. And when they talk about God or even talk about Jesus, it's not the Bible Jesus. It's not the Bible God. It's a God or a Jesus that they've made up as a figment of their own imagination. And you just will see so many examples of it. You can go online and just Google how many modern entertainers have either, you know, sometimes you can tell they're serious. Other times you think they're just mocking. But how many times they have said they've sold their soul to the devil? Blatantly, just said it. And whether or not they're serious or not, they're mocking God. And then there's so many who mock God by saying, I used the example of Carrie Underwood in her church, and there are a huge number of professing Christians today, both famous and non-famous, who say, I love Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm saved. But then they mock God because it's not the biblical Jesus. They're talking about a Jesus who is a friend to unrepentant sodomites. They're talking about a Jesus who embraces wickedness. That's mocking God. That's a fake Jesus. It's not the real God who is manifest in the flesh, because the God who is manifest in the flesh, that Jesus is holy. And he doesn't embrace unrepentant wickedness. He's coming to judge it. But America is learning this truth when the majority of God mocks, majority of the population mocks God. Because it says here, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Read that with me. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, you know, I speak for me personally, we're trying to get control of the borders of this country. And that's one thing that I don't believe is political. I believe it is moral, and I believe it's important for us as a nation. God established nations with borders. That's according to the Scripture. Romans 13, 1-4, for example. We're not against immigration. We're against illegal immigration. And the reason we're against illegal immigration is because too many of those who will break the law and enter this country illegally are going to break the law once they get here. And it brings in a huge increase and influx of drugs and rape and all the things that are going on as a result. And so what we're trying to say is, do what God has given you to do to the government. We're telling the government, God has given you a role. And that number one role is the border. And it's to protect this country from illegals. But those aren't just Mexicans coming in illegally, because that would really not be as big a problem for me. When's the last time the Mexicans bombed anybody? I mean, you know, there's been... Now, there are some illegal Mexicans who have come over because they're drug dealers and that sort of thing. That's what I'm talking about. But the legals, and even a lot of the illegals who are Mexican, are no problem. The only problem with the illegals is the word illegal. And there's one presidential candidate said, I want to send them all back, and then they can come in legally. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. If you send them back and say, now, if you want to come in here, come legally. That's law. What we're becoming is lawless. And that's a sign of the end times. But the problem I really have isn't with Mexicans or Anyone from Central or South America coming up. The real problem is it's not just Mexicans coming across the border. Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Amen. What's coming across the border now are Muslims.
Yeah.
You say, well, what's wrong with that? It's a death cult.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And we need to wake up to the fact that what we fought in World War II is alive and well in the Islamic religion.
Yeah.
It is a political philosophy, not a religion.
Amen.
And you say, well, there's only a small number. No, it's not a small number. It's a small percentage of a billion, but it's still 100 million or so who want you dead.
Yeah. Amen.
And the same thing was true with the Nazi Party. It was only a small percentage of Nazis who ever killed anybody. Do you understand that? But they supported those killing, just like the Muslims right now. They are. You say, no, they're not all supporting it. With their silence, they're supporting it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what's happening? I believe that the United States of America today is reaping what we've sown.
Yeah, right.
With the slaughter of all these babies, with the endorsement of the sodomite lifestyle, which ought to be called a death style, which labeling their union marriage, which is blasphemy.
Yep.
Marriage is a God-ordained status between a man and a woman. It is a covenant between man and woman. It is for, first and foremost, the purpose of procreation. Second of all, it's to be a union that actually pictures Christ in the church.
Amen.
And to take two men or two women together and call that a marriage is blasphemy.
Amen.
It is abomination.
Amen.
And most Christians today are an abomination.
Amen.
Because they are either supporting it, or with their silence, they are guilty of accommodating it. And we are sowing, reaping what we are sowing in this country. And what happens to countries? What happens to nations when they reap what they sow? They lose their country. What happened to Israel? They lost their land. What happened to the Native Americans before us? Why are we here? Just study it. Don't go with the political correctness nonsense. I've got the Cherokee blood in me, so I feel like I have a bit of a right to say that my people were pagan. They were not worshiping the true God. Many of them did convert. Guess what they wanted to do? Assimilate. When the Christians came over and a Native American converted to Christianity, they still didn't want to run around naked, smoking peyote and talking to demons. But that's what they were doing when the whites showed up. Now, the Europeans, there was two kinds. There was the Spanish conquistadors, which were wicked. And they came over here and just raped and killed and all that. But then they died off. God killed them off. And then the Puritans and the Pilgrims and the Bible believers came over. And that's who founded this country. It wasn't a bunch of Roman Catholic Spanish conquistadors.
Amen.
They died off. Disease, and a lot of it was syphilis because they were raping and pillaging. But when the Bible believers and the Puritans and Pilgrims, which they're not Bible believers, by the way, they were Christians. But the Bible believers also came later, after the Pilgrims and Puritans had already been here a little while, and they came in and they built this country. Whose country is it now? Back to the pagans.
Yeah.
Back to the God mockers. And that's why this country is reaping what has been sown. Now, this message that we're going to consider this morning is for the saved. But you can see it as you look out on the world. In response to being saved, this is a fundamental truth. You sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That is one of the most important fundamental truths for you as a Christian to learn as soon as you're saved. It's like a baby. What's one of the first things a baby needs to learn? The word no. and the word yes. To a baby, that's two of the most important words for them to learn. I mean, yeah, you want them to say dad, ma. And that's where most Christians are in their spiritual walk. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why they don't understand no. Yes. They don't understand those words. What do they understand? The baby Christians, by the millions in America today, understand, I want it now. It's mine. I confess it. I claim it. I have the faith. Because I believe it is mine. You know what that is? That's a little spoiled brat going, mine. Mine. I had it first. It's mine. You had it first, but now I have it. It's mine. Neither one of us have it, but I saw it. It's mine. That's modern Christianity today. A bunch of thumb-sucking babies who won't let go and realize sometimes God says no. Why? Because He's a good father. If your father never says no, your father is a bad father. Only good fathers know to say no. Get your hands off my black licorice. Now some of you are like, I don't like, my kids loved it, so I had to say that. Mariah, put it down. So if you want to mature, how many here want to remain a baby Christian in diapers? Raise your hand. I'm glad to see no hands. So you want to grow. What do you want to do? You want to understand this truth right here. You sow to your flesh, you will have the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you will have the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Why? Because it starts with repentance. It starts with repenting toward God. That means you left you behind.
Amen.
That's what that means. We are presented with two paths, sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit. This morning, I'm not going to ask for a verbal. I'm not going to ask for the raise of hands. But this morning, you're going to make a commitment. You're either going to sow to the flesh or you're going to sow to the Spirit. That's how serious it is when you come to church and the Bible is preached.
Amen.
You're hearing the Word of God and you've got to make a choice. And if you choose not to even think about it and just to let it go, you've already made your choice. Right there. That's like people who come to church and they don't even listen when the gospel is preached and they die unsaved. They will be reminded that they were sitting in a pew or a seat when the gospel was preached and they chose. No, I didn't. I didn't even hear it. That's your choice.
Yeah.
If you choose to ignore me this morning, that's your choice.
Yeah.
You don't want to listen? Go right ahead. Think about what you're going to do later. Oh, it's nice out. I said, look how pretty it is. I can't wait. I think we'll go out back and sit for a few minutes just with the sun hitting me. And then later on, what I'll do is, oh, there's football on later. I think it's about 3 o'clock. There's 2 games on. Oh, that's what I'm going to do later. Yeah. Oh, I wonder if Tom Brady will deflate the balls again. I wonder, you know. And on and on and on and on it goes for the guys. And the girls, I wonder if anybody's looking at me right now. Does anybody see? Oh, I do. I forgot to put on the blush. Is anyone paying attention? That's what happens during church services. I know it. I know that's what happens. I know. I sat there thinking, oh, I wonder if anybody's looking at me. That was in his teenager. But it happens. And so the question is, are you going to listen to the message and are you going to make a choice? Choosing not to listen, you choose the top. You listen, then the question is, are you going to sow to the flesh or are you going to sow to the Spirit? Now, we'll come back to some of that in just a minute. Let's start with the first one. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I want that stuck in your head there. Can you read it with me? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, we need to, you know, lay the ground rules here so you understand. To work, to eat, to sleep, buy a home, pay your bills, have a savings, it's all expected of us. That's not sowing to the flesh. That's expected of us. I want you to turn your Bibles and mark this if you need to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we need to read this because there are some people who think it's spiritual to be on welfare. It's spiritual to be a mooch. And not all people on welfare are mooches, but too many of them today are. Too many able-bodied people are mooches. I always tell everybody, the reason why FDR had more support from Bible-believing Christians than today's blatant socialist politicians is because FDR's programs were to put people to work. So he would put you to work, and then you'd be paid from the government, but you were working. That's why we've got all the dams and all the bridges and all the streets, all the railroads were, you know, built up over that area. It's because they didn't just hand out money and say, here, go smoke you some dope. Here, do some crack. Have some more babies. That's the welfare program of the modern socialist. Back then it was, go to work, and if you put in your time, we're going to give you a check.
Amen.
Amen. Big difference. And that's the biblical way if you're going to have charity and what you want to call welfare. Able-bodied people should work before they get anything.
Amen.
It tells us to work in the Bible, not to lack. That's the purpose. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 11, says, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to what? Work with your own hands, as we what? Commanded you." Oh, some of you need to underline that. Put that in as a memory verse. And some of you just know some family members or friends right now that you're going to quote that to later. Amen? Amen. We were commanded to work with your hands. That doesn't mean you have to work on a farm. You work on a keyboard. You're working, pushing a pistol. You're using your hands. Amen?
Amen?
Just doing something. "As we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." See, the idea is, as a Christian, you want to be the one to be able to help others. You don't want to be in a situation where you're always having to ask. If you are working and you get hurt or you get laid off or something like that, and you need a little help, there's no shame in that. But if you are able-bodied, offered work, and refusing work so that you can mooch, that's a disgrace. And it's more than that. It's a sin. You understand that? If you're able to work, offered work, and refuse to work so that you can mooch, it's a sin. You are disobeying the commandment of God.
Right. Amen.
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 How many of these politicians you think would be elected by preaching that? Amen.
Amen.
That should be our new welfare program in this country. We're going to follow God. All this talk about God, we're going to have welfare. You work fair. It's work fair. You work, we'll give you money, unless you see our doctors, and that's fair. Amen. Unless you see our doctors and it is decided that you can't do anything. You say, well, I'm physically unable. Well, you can sit behind a desk and do something then. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, most of the government workers aren't doing anything, so there's plenty of work for you to do.
Always go out and work and scrap metal.
There you go. You can become an apprentice under Mark Easter. He's got clutter. He's got clutter in his truck. He's got clutter. That's it.
That truck's being retired.
So what if you won't work? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. We were in chapter 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. This is tough love, folks. What if you will not work? The Bible says you either work or starve. Well, it's just mean. Well, God's mean then. Amen. You think that's mean? God's mean, because He's the one said it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, read it. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Oh. Commanded you. If you will not work, then you can just become real spiritual and fast. Amen.
Amen.
And then you get hungry enough. It's like the dogs. We have the dogs, you know, and every once in a while we'll buy some different food. You know, we've only done it a couple of times. You don't want to do that to your pets very often, or you'll clean up the mess. Amen. But our dog has sense of the skin, and so we had to change so they wouldn't itch themselves so much, scratch themselves. So we got this new food, and at first you're like, "What in the world? What are you expect me to eat that?" You know what I said?
Yeah.
Listen, you freeloader. You get hungry enough, you're going to eat that. You know what happened to that puppy? He got hungry enough and he ate it. He's been eating it ever since. And we still put that food down there and he looks up at us like, "This ain't chicken." Yeah. And like, "Yeah, it ain't." But you get hungry enough, they're going to start smelling like chicken. Same thing's true about human beings. Human being who's able-bodied gets hungry enough, they'll work. You just got to stick with God's Word and make them grow up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Stop enabling the entire country right now. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But beyond this, we should not spend our time, talent, energy, and substance on this flesh because it's a waste. In other words, you do what you need to do. You should pay your bills. You should, you know, take care of yourself. You shouldn't have to rely on other people. But beyond that, it's a waste. Sowing to the flesh is described as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Three facets. Flesh is of the world. That's how you know when the Bible's talking about flesh in a negative sense, means it's of the world. 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." That's when you're sowing to the flesh. How many of you, you know, go to funerals? Do you see a U-Haul attached to the limousine? Or it's a hearse. Not a limousine, is it? There's actually a country song that says that. You never see a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. I can't remember who sings that or how it goes, but if you were to see that, somebody left this world clueless. You ain't taking any of it with you. You see, what I'm getting at is that's a real good way of measuring, are you sowing to the flesh or the Spirit? Because if you're sowing to the flesh, over and above those necessities we talked about, everything that you have to leave behind when you die, that is sowing to the flesh. You say, "I need a house," but do you need that $5 million home?
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.